Let us turn to the Word of God in the book of Psalms, Psalm 23, and we will read from verse 1, the first three verses. Psalm 23 from verse 1, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. David looks to the Lord as his shepherd. He is trusting in the Lord, that is Jehovah, the great I am, which brings before us God's free choice. God chooses to help and save the unworthy. He is self-moved, I am, from within, determined, and he has made choice of his people to save them, though they do not merit his favor. They are saved by grace. And David is looking to the Lord as his shepherd who leads him. And God gives his people grace to follow him. He enables them to know him. As the Lord Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. David says, the Lord, Jehovah, is my shepherd. He knows the shepherd. We may know the psalm. We may know the psalm, the whole psalm by heart. We may have it memorized. We may be able to sing it without reading the Psalter. But the question, of course, is, do we know the shepherd? Do we know Christ? Do we know him so as to love him? And do we desire to follow him? Do we desire to be led? Do we desire to be led in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake? Well, David carries out the theme, the imagery, the figure of a sheep following a shepherd throughout this psalm. And not only does the Lord lead him into green pastures and beside the waters of rest, he also restores his soul and leads him in the paths of righteousness. And the Lord helping us, we will consider first the Lord restores the souls of his people. As David says, he restoreth my soul. And secondly, the Lord leads them in the paths of righteousness. As he says, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. And finally, in the third place, the Lord works for his people, leading them for his name's sake. For his name's sake. Well, let us pray that if we are his people, but straying from him, that the Lord would restore us. He would draw us back to himself and lead us in the paths of righteousness. But if you're not a sheep at all, then pray that the Lord would convert you, because he is able, just as he is able to restore his people, he is able to raise the dead, to put life in the soul. So we begin with the Lord who restores the souls of his people. Now, David knew what wandering sheep were. Doubtless, he would have seen sheep leave the flock. Most would be following the shepherd, and there would be a sheep there and a sheep there that would wander off. And then he would have to go back and lead them into the fold once more. And then he would continue to lead the sheep in the right way. But not only did David know what a shepherd was like and what sheep were like, he himself knew what it was to wander off from the Lord. And so as we sang in Psalm 119, the psalmist says to the Lord in verse 176, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. Seek thy servant, just as a shepherd would go after that lost wandering sheep. So the psalmist prays that the Lord would come back for him and lead him again in the right ways. Seek thy servant. David himself felt that he had wandered off from God, drifting, perhaps sinking, slipping away, so that he felt he was even sinking into the dust sometimes, even into the state of the dead, so that he feels he has no life. And so he prays for reviving. Psalm 119, verse 25, we sang, "My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word." He prays for quickening, reviving, enlivening, to be vivified, vivification. He would have vivacity in his soul. He would be restored. "He restoreth my soul." David knows where to go. He goes to the Lord for that quickening and reviving. Well, have you not felt that way at times, child of God, feeling languid, dull, spiritual lethargy, feeling dry, drifting away, and spiritually out of shape, we may even say. Not as you wish to be, not as you would like to be spiritually. You're not content with that condition. You're longing to be the way you were before when you felt nearer to the Lord. Job felt that way. Job chapter 29, verse 2. "Oh, that I were as in months past, as in the days when God preserved me." He felt nearer to the Lord, upheld and strengthened. He felt strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Job desires to be brought back to that. And David prays for reviving and quickening. So the believer cannot be content to be in that spiritual lethargy, spiritual dullness, and spiritual slumber. And perhaps added to that, there are at times doubts and fears, and feeling spiritually weak and vulnerable and easily prone to temptation. Any moment feeling that the feet would slip further away from God into sin, feeling in great danger spiritually, not a comfortable state, and hence the need of restoring, spiritual reviving, being brought back to that spiritual condition that was enjoyed before. Well, you prayed for quickening, didn't you? "Revive and quicken me. Strengthen me, restore me." And at length the Lord delivered you from that condition and strengthened your heart, brought you nearer to himself, and you felt that, and you were glad, and you rejoiced in the Lord. And you knew from experience that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Previously, before feeling lack of spiritual energy, spiritually limp, the Lord revived you and brought you near and gave you fresh desires, anointing your head with oil. As Job says, "He will put strength in me." And that's what the Lord's people desire, and that's what many of them will be able to testify. "The Lord strengthened me. I felt I was sinking, but the Lord lifted me up again. The Lord, he restoreth my soul." Yes, it is the Lord's doing. There's no doubt about that in the mind of the child of God when he or she experiences that restoring. "The Lord revived me. He restoreth my soul." Yes, it is my soul that matters most. The child of God cares more about his or her soul than the body. And that's what we need to remember. We need to apply this to ourselves. What matters most to us tonight, the body or the soul? That's a straightforward question. Maybe it's not always easy to answer. What matters most to us, our soul or is it just the body? The outward things or the spiritual needs we have? God made us body and soul. Both are important, but the soul is more important. What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? The body is going to die. The body will go into the grave, but the soul will immediately go either into heaven or hell. Which matters most to us? Well, we should pray that the Lord would either convert us or restore us or continue to lead us. Lead us in the paths of righteousness. If we desire our soul to be saved, if we desire our souls to prosper, then we should be in the means of grace. We can't expect reviving, restoring without the means. The Holy Spirit uses the truth. It is through the appointed means, the ordinances, that Christ communicates, he conveys to us the benefits of redemption. So we have no right to expect grace without the means of grace. There is no quickening without the truth. Quicken me according to thy word. Well, the word restore has for its root the word turn. So it means to turn or to bring back. Bring back my soul. Restore my soul. And so it is God who brings us back to the spiritual condition that we were in before. Just like he did for Simon Peter. Peter had denied his Savior. He had sunk spiritually. He had wandered like a lost sheep. And the Lord brought him back. The Lord revived him, restored him. He brought him back to a better spiritual condition. And that is what the Lord said he would do. Or that is what he said Peter would experience. After he would deny his Savior, the Lord says, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. He would be restored from backsliding. And that strengthening of him, that restoring of him, would be like a second conversion. It would be so wonderful. It would be so clear that the Lord is restoring him that it's like a new conversion experience. When thou art converted, he was already converted, but it's like he's experiencing a second spiritual conversion. And that's how wonderful the Lord's grace is in restoring the soul. He, not me, he restoreth my soul. This is the doing of the Lord, and wondrous in our eyes. And so it was with Simon Peter when he was strengthened so much that he was preaching boldly before all the people. And in that first sermon on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 souls were converted. Well, the Lord is able to do great things and revive the hearts of his people, able to give them joy after a period of sorrow. David knew that when he had sinned, and he writes Psalm 51, he speaks about his bones being broken, that is, his strength is gone, he's spiritually weak, he has no comfort, the joy had departed. But the Lord, he prays for forgiveness. He prays, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Restore me, to me, that comfort, and cause my soul to experience that reviving and that refreshing. Restore my soul. Restore that joy to my soul. He knew where to go when he felt empty. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He will provide for me. He knew where to go when he felt dark and sorrowful to the Lord. He restoreth my soul. He can revive me and cause me to rejoice in himself. So, to whatever degree we may have wandered, if we feel that we have drifted somewhat throughout the day and we have not been diligent as we should have been, or if we feel that we have greatly backslidden, whatever the case may be, here is brought before us this wonderful truth. He restoreth my soul. It is God's grace that revives, that quickens, that brings me back again from the gates of death. Pray that the Lord would bring us back, that he would restore us, knowing that this is what the Lord does. He restoreth my soul. And when the Lord restores his people, he also leads them. He leads them still, and he will continue to lead them in the paths of righteousness. So, secondly, the Lord leads his people in the paths of righteousness. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Here is the great benefit that believers receive. They enjoy this blessing from the Lord, the great blessing of being led, just as a shepherd leads a sheep. What shepherd is he that doesn't lead? Lead the sheep. Lead the sheep to the pastures. Lead the sheep back again to the enclosure. So without the shepherd, the sheep would be lost. And the Lord Jesus looked on the multitudes who needed healing and needed to be fed. He saw them as sheep without a shepherd, and he had compassion upon them. They needed someone to guide them, someone to lead them. They needed Christ to lead them. They needed the good shepherd who leads his sheep and leads them in the paths of righteousness. David saw his need of being led in the paths of righteousness. He felt the danger of the path of the destroyer. We read in Psalm 17, verse 4, that David says that he keeps himself from the paths of the destroyer. He feared that path. He didn't want to go in that path. What path may that be? The path of the roaring lion. The path that Satan would have us follow. And Satan is leading millions along those lines and following those ways. David feared to go that way. So should we. Are we praying that, and are we resolving to not go in the path of the destroyer? The path of sin, the wages of sin is death. It may be a nice and easy path that's so easy to follow, but it leads to death. Broad is the way. Wide is the gate. Broad is the way that leads to death. And many there be which go in thereat. It leads to destruction. But David loved to go in the paths of righteousness. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The paths of righteousness are approved paths. Approved paths. Someone has put it this way, as a shepherd guides his flock in the ways that he thinks best, so God guides his chosen in ways that he approves. Paths that are approved, not paths that are questionable, that compromise, no, paths of righteousness. These are the paths that we should follow. These, we may not be certain exactly how God would lead us in providence, but if the Lord is leading us and we sincerely desire to follow him, he will lead us. He will help us. In fact, that is what some people think is meant by the paths of righteousness, that it is God's righteousness, that because God is righteous, he will always guide his people. He will not let them go a wrong way. God in his righteousness will help his people in providence. Because he is righteous, he will lead us and keep us from evil. He will guide his people in those ways of providence which his righteousness would require him to choose for them. David prays for that. He prays in Psalm 25, we read in verse 5, show me thy ways, verse 4, O Lord, teach me thy paths. Verse 5, lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. David desires to experience God's mercy and goodness and providence, being led in the way that God chooses for him. And God will do so. God is righteous so as not to leave his people to go their own way. He will help them. If we desire to be led, he will lead us. He will show us the way to go. He will take care of us. He will lead us in the path of his righteousness. Of course, he does not say God's righteousness. He simply says righteousness. Perhaps the word is comprehensive and includes all kinds of paths of righteousness, as we've said already, approved paths, paths that God approves of. And he will certainly approve the way that he chooses for his people to go. We ordinarily, of course, think of these words as the path of righteousness, that is God enabling his people to follow righteousness. And first, it is the path of justification. God leads his people to Christ. Christ is the good shepherd, and he leads his people to himself, and they're to follow him, their Savior. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He died for the sheep. His blood was shed for his people. It is through his blood they have forgiveness. It is by his blood they are justified, they are pardoned and accepted. So he leads his people in the path of justification, directing his people to Christ who was crucified. Where does the Spirit lead his people? If the Spirit is leading us, the Spirit leads us to Christ, leads us to him who is the Lord, our righteousness. And so if we are feeling oppressed with a sense of guilt, feeling that we are hell deserving and our sins are burdening us, and we are conscious of our failings and what we deserve, perhaps even feeling God's displeasure, we're to go to the shepherd. Go to Christ who suffered and died to bring us to God. Look to his blood and righteousness. The Spirit will lead you to the cross. The Lord's people are throughout their lives being directed to the blood, to the wounds, to the broken body and the shed blood of Christ. So when Satan accuses us, and he will, conscience will accuse us, and we're to seek peace of conscience by the blood. But when Satan brings before us all of our past sins once again, and we feel overwhelmed, pray to be led to the cross. Pray that you would lay hold of the promise, the assurance of God's word. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. There's no other answer. There is no other way but Christ. Christ is the way. We're to follow him. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. He leads us in the path of justification. He leads us in the path of sanctification. This is the path of righteousness in terms of his working in us that righteousness. In justification, he imputes the righteousness of Christ to us. We are clothed with the white robe of the righteousness of Christ. In sanctification, he infuses righteousness within us, in our souls. He puts a new heart in us. He puts grace within us. He enables us from the heart to follow after righteousness, leading us from within so that we follow him in our lives in the ways of righteousness. That is the work of God's free grace. Even sanctification, whereby we are renewed in the whole man after the image of God, and are enabled more and more, following that way, more and more, going that path, being led that direction in the way of righteousness, led away from sin and led to Christ and righteousness, in the direction of holiness, that way that God speaks of in Isaiah 35, the path of the righteous and God's people, so plain that they cannot err. And he says, "An highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein." The Lord will lead his people. If we're praying for direction, he will lead us. He will guide us. He will lead us in the paths of righteousness. If we desire to be led, he will lead us, and that path will become clearer and clearer. The path of the just is as the shining light, which shineth more and more unto the perfect day. How thankful we should be that the Lord leads his sheep. He sees them going astray, he brings them back. He sets their feet on the right path, and he continues to lead them. He continues to lead them, and he leads them in love. He doesn't drive them. Yes, sometimes we are afflicted and we feel that we are being beaten with the rod, but usually it's in love. Well, it's always in love. Even when we experience the rod, it's in love. What I mean is that we feel his love. He leads us. He draws us. When the Lord's people obey, they desire to obey in love. And it's Christ's love that constrains them. The love of Christ constrains to loving obedience, loving obedience. And that is what we should aim for, that what I do, I would do in love to the Lord. Not just because I have to. I know it's my duty. I want to do my duty. But I also want to be conscious of love leading me, led by the Lord in the paths of righteousness. So if we are sincere, the Lord will direct us. He will willingly lead us in the paths of righteousness. He will give us strength. He will help us press on so that we will experience that promise again, that they shall walk and not faint, led in the paths of righteousness. And why does the Lord do this? Why does he lead his people? Is it because they deserve it? Is it because they've been holy all the previous week? No, not because of their goodness, not because they deserve it. None of us deserve anything, but he does it for his name's sake. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. What is the name of the Lord? Well, generally speaking, the name of the Lord is himself as he has revealed himself. It is the Lord in the revelation of himself, the name of God. It is God's glory and perfections being revealed to us, and God is glorified in that. His work for his people is for the glory of his great name. He will get glory to himself. So he does it for his glory. That's what we're to learn here. Why will the Lord lead his people? Why does he restore them? Why does he lead them in the paths of righteousness? It's for his name's sake, for his own glory. And how comforting that is, really. Because the more, if we're the Lord's people, we grow in grace, the more conscious we will be that we are not worthy of the least of his mercies. And so we take comfort that he will help us as well as forgive us for his name's sake. He's glorified in it. That should encourage us. I, he says, even I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions for mine own sake, he says, and will not remember thy sins. We may be conscious of having done nothing good. Ah, there's hope for us still, because he will forgive us for his own sake. And that is what we should plead at a throne of grace, that he chooses his people. They may not feel chosen, but if Christ is precious to them and they desire to turn from sin and they want to obey him, they have the evidence that he has chosen them from eternity, and he has done it according to the good pleasure of his will and to the praise of the glory of his grace. So sinners are saved by grace. It's by grace from beginning to end, so there is hope for the guiltiest person among us, and that may be ourselves. Who knows? The Lord knows, and he is the judge. But there is hope for every one of us in the shepherd. So he will lead us if we pray to him and sincerely desire to be led. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And because he does it for his name's sake, he will lead us to the very, very end. Someone puts it like this: it's not only for his own glory, it's not only For his own sake, he will lead his people, but he will lead his people in the paths of righteousness for the sake of what he has already done. That is, his previous work, what he has already done in showing his glory. He has shown his glory to his people in saving them. And so he will continue to lead his people because of what he has done for them already, for his name's sake. If he did not continue to lead them, then he would be dishonored by failing to fulfill his promises. So the point is, if God has spiritually helped us in the past, he will continue to help us in the future. He will lead us still for his name's sake. What he begins, he will see through to the end. If our eternal security depended on our own steadfastness, none of us would be saved. He leads us for his name's sake. Reaching the end of the journey spiritually is not dependent on ourselves, but it's owing to his grace and his faithfulness. It is his sovereign grace that ensures that we will be kept and we will be faithful to the end. And so he that endures to the end shall be saved. Unmerited grace, as somebody has put it, unmerited grace will finish what it began. So we can be confident, as Paul was, of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And we're to plead these promises in prayer. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. The Lord has done this. He has put grace in us. He has strengthened us. He will continue to strengthen us. That's our hope, to go forward, pleading the promise he will preserve his people to the end. And he will do so throughout eternity. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. So we're to look to the shepherd. Pray that you and I would know him. If we feel we don't know him, pray that he would open our eyes, that we would be ignorant no longer, that he would convert us, and that he would lead us. This salvation that is offered to you and me is full, it is complete, it includes regeneration, conversion, justification, adoption, sanctification, and eternal life. So pray that you would be one of his sheep, that he would be your shepherd, and that he would lead you in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, and he will be glorified in it, and you will praise him forever and ever. Pray to him, lead me in the paths of righteousness for thine own name's sake. May he bless his word. Let us pray.